Good morning. My name is Denver Daniel. I am get the privilege and honor of preaching this morning at Church of the Open Door. Just so thankful across our campuses that you are here. I get to serve as the president of Open Door Christian Schools, and I know that there are many students that are looking at me right now and getting this reminder of, oh no, school's around the corner. But I am thrilled to be here, and even more, I am thrilled that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords invites me to be his son. Is that not awesome? So as we are here today, I just want us to do this. I know that before I preach this morning across the campuses that there was a season of worship and a time. But can I do this as believers? Can I just encourage you as I preach? Let me not get in the way of your worship. Let me add to it. We have someone who is worthy to be praised, and his name is Jesus for what he has done for our lives. Amen? And like I say this often, I pray this often, I never, ever, ever want to get, I'll just say ever for another time, but I never want to get over what Jesus did and is doing for me. Amen. Now, this is the third of the series of the Big Test. In just a short moment, I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles to John chapter 18. But I'm an educator by trade. And being an educator, you can't think of tests as an educator unless you think of these things. All right? How many of you can relate to this a little bit? Not the F, but the report card. All right? So now, for some of the high school students, elementary students, they have no concept of what that thing is right now. Not because they don't have a report card, but the report cards are delivered to mom and dad via email, or they can go online and they can check their grades. But how many of you, old school now, remember the time of reckoning that those carbon paper report cards, can I get an amen somewhere on that? All right, yeah, so those carbon, that you would literally, the last day of the quarter, be walking home to your parent a report card that needed to be signed and returned the next day. Boy, that brings back, I'm actually sweaty palms right now thinking about it. But I'm going to tell you a little story that I'm not going to say that I'm proud of that goes along with this report card, this big test that I had. All right, and God willing, it will relate a little bit into what we're going to be reading in Scripture. But here's the story behind the reason why that report card has an F on it and what I'm going to share is in sixth grade, at Field Sweet Elementary School in North Ridgeville, Ohio, I walked out on the last day of school with an F on my English report card. Now, the reality is that it wasn't because that I couldn't have done better. I could have done better, but I deserved that grade. And so I was faced with a problem. All right, and I'll just share that problem with you. The problem was, is that F, it was the last day, that F stood between me and my summer vacation. And more specifically, stood before me and the enjoyment of my summer vacation. That F was not going to be a pleasant experience for me when I handed it over to my mom and she then showed it to my dad. There were going to be consequences coming down the pike for me with that F. So I loaded on the bus, somewhat panicked. I had been teetering between a D and an F the whole time. D would have had me in trouble, but this was an F and it was my first one. So I'm thinking about what am I going to do? How am I? And so as I was processing that, I came up with a plan. And the plan was, what if I changed the grade? Because it was the fourth report card, right? So that one didn't have to be returned to the school because they had the master copy at the school. So I figured if I somehow figured out a way in those 20 minutes to change the grade, that mom would never figure that out, and I was banking on maybe the teacher wouldn't give mom a call to make sure that she got the report card. So I decided in that 20-minute bus ride that I was changing the grade. So I know you've seen the cartoons or whatever, to take the line, draw it there, give an A. There was no way I was going to give myself an A. I was going to be caught for sure. I even thought, well, if I did the loop thing, the B, that I would get caught there too. Mom had, and was aware of my grades enough. I'm like, I have to somehow turn that into a C. All right? I know that if you send your child to or thinking about sending to Open Door Christian Schools, you're now worried. Just hang with me. I wanted to turn it into a C, but I had this problem. It was this thing. So I came up with this idea. What if somehow I tore the report card in such a pointed way that it actually removed this, then I could doctor it up and I could share that it was a C. And so I'm like, that's what I'll do. So I got my pencil out, and I was going to poke it right at the place. Right before I poked it, I'm like, that'll never work. Mom will figure out that it's just this poke pencil prod, never work. And so I'm like, no, I got to do something better than that. So I got off of the bus stop, which was about a little more than a quarter mile from our house, and I got off the bus stop, and the very first thing that I did was I found a rock. And I laid the report card over the rock, and I actually created a hole at that spot by the rock. Isn't everybody, like, thankful for digital report cards now, by the way, as I share this? All right, but so I put the hole in there, and I'm like, she's still not going to buy it unless if I just come here to a crumbled-up report card that has a hole in it. I'm like, I've got to, like, hurt myself or something to show. Kid you not. And like, so I literally got down on the pavement and started kicking my knee against the cement so that I would start bleeding a little bit. And then I turned the street and I started like taking my mouth and started making tears out of my spit, you know, and just then I came home and I'm like, Mom, I can't believe it. I ripped the report card. I know how important it is. Da, 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 da. And she bought it. And she's smart. She's a bit, but she bought it for years. She bought it. I think upon a little bit when I was in college, I finally had the nerve to tell her, hey, remember that report card? It really wasn't what you thought it was. And she didn't ground me at that point. But here's the deal. Jason preached last week about epic fails. That report card represented an epic fail on a big test of my life. That big test represented 9 weeks of what should have been effort and studies, and it also represented a tremendous fail in my conduct, in my character and integrity, right? It was a big test that led to an epic fail. So here's my definition of epic fail. And you probably, if you went on YouTube, you wouldn't see too many YouTube videos that show an epic fail by this definition. A lot of times epic fails also are described as the significant events. But for today, I want to just throw to you that an epic fail is a compilation of numerous failures over time. I could have not failed the fourth quarter of English. I could have owned up to my failure and acknowledged that. But instead, I kept on failing across 9 weeks, and in a 20-minute bus ride, failed miserably with my integrity, even as a sixth grader. And so as we look at today's message and the passage of Scripture in John 18, we're going to be looking at Pilate and the test that he was facing, the big test, the test, I am comfortable in saying this, the test of his life. And we're going to see how the test of his life equates to the test of our lives. And by the help of the Lord, we're going to be looking at how can we avoid the epic fail? What were the things that caused, tragically, Pilate to have an epic fail on the biggest test of his life. And how can you and I avoid those? So if you would join me in reading from John chapter 18, we'll be starting in verse 28. And if you could stand with me just to reverence God's word today. But John chapter 18, verse 28 says, then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews, gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. You can be seated. So we see this context, story unfold of Pilate being the Roman governor. Little background information, Pilate's typical place of residence wasn't where he was on that day. As custom suggests, he would have been in Jerusalem because of the Passover being near. And so as he was there, we can see through the exchange that he had with the religious leaders of that day that had brought Jesus to him, and the conversations with Jesus himself, we can see Pilate absolutely fits the definition of an epic fail, a compilation of numerous failures over time. We can also see from this conversation, along with my report card, that all tests are striving to answer a question. The question that was being asked of me in sixth grade was how well was I going to do collectively over 9 weeks in English. For Pilate, it was striving to ask a question that we're going to look at in just a moment. But this test of his life, this big test, was striving to answer a question. And then something that I'm sure that all of us are aware of, some tests have greater consequences than others. You know, I made it through relatively unscathed with my sixth grade epic fail. Right? The Lord blessed me to go on to school, to hopefully have some integrity and make my parents proud instead of ripping report cards. All right? But some tests have greater consequences than others. Pilate was facing the test of his life. And the way that he approached that, and the way that we approach the big test of our life, will establish how great the consequences are for us. Here's Pilate's big test, and here's ours too. What do I do with Jesus? When Jesus interrupts your lifestyle, when Jesus interrupts the things that you have planned, what do you do with Jesus? And today, that's the big test that the Lord is putting in front of each and every one of us right now. What do we do with Jesus? Now, there's two reasons that we fail. The first one is we fail because of our ability. That wasn't the story in sixth grade English, but that would be the story for me in biochemistry. There are things that we are gifted to do and have the ability to do. There are other things that are outside of our grip. And so we fail because of our ability. And if we don't have the ability thing straightened out, you know, the second reason of failing is kind of immaterial. Because somebody could ask me to help fix their car right now. I don't have the ability other than to get into my phone and look up somebody that could. Right? I just don't have that kind of ability. But the second reason that we fail is because of our thinking. And the attitudes, the dispositions, the rationales that we bring into something, we fail because we outthink something or we're thinking incorrectly. So there's two reasons that we fail. Now, with Pilate's big test and ours, what do we do with Jesus? The ability issue was taken care of for us. I mean, think through that. And this would be a time to pause and just before we get into the momentum of the message, think through that Jesus took care of the ability issue. You know, so if I'm looking at the reasons that we fail, and I believe what the Word of God says, that all have sinned and come short, that means that I've come short of the greatest test of my life. It says that my righteousness, that's me at my best, is as filthy rags compared to the righteousness of the Lord. And that means that nothing that I ever do, that means there's no amount of discipline, there's no amount of effort, there's no works that I can do that will ever cause me to be right in the eyes of God. I'm doomed, right? I have no ability. But here's the cool thing. Jesus knows that. God the Father knows that. God the Holy Spirit knows that. And so they sent Jesus, came to earth in the form of a man, lived a sinless life. And as 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. That's me. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took care of the ability issue for you and I. We were doomed before, but now, thank God, we can say we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that cool or what? All right, we have, so he's taking care of this ability issue. But then, if he's taking care of the ability issue, there's still some things dealing with thinking fails that come into our lives. And Pilate had the series of thinking fails. It wasn't an ability issue with Pilate either. He had the ability to do the right thing in that circumstance. But it was his thinking fails. And here's the first thinking fail that he presented. He presented that he thought that Jesus is trivial. And you say, well, how do you get that, Denver? Where's that coming from? Well, Pilate is sitting in his headquarters. He's delivered Jesus. And when he's delivered Jesus, the very first thing, basically comes out and tells the crowd that was with him, why are you here? You know, why are you here? And then the crowd retorted back, hey, listen, if he hadn't been doing something significant, if he wasn't doing something wrong, we wouldn't be here. And then Pilate just once more, like just minimizing the situation, said, hey, listen, you take him, judge him according to your own law. And they said to him, we don't have a right to execute anyone. We can't put anyone to death. And I can just hear the boom in Pilate's thinking. Where he once thought that Jesus was trivial, now he realized because one of Pilate's main courses and main charges was that he was charged with keeping the peace in Jerusalem. That's the reason why he was there. And so now he sees that he has a crowd and a guy in front of it that they're wanting to kill. And so all of a sudden the mind shift starts going with Pilate that Jesus is not trivial. This is more than what I thought it was.
And I don't know if this is a thinking fail of your life. I don't know that if it was a thinking fail once before, but in your life. But I will tell you that there are many out there today. There are people, I was one of them, that thought Jesus is trivial. He's just, it's small. It's just something that, I don't want to be bothered with. Let's just put him off the side. But listen, if we really think that one of the problems is with the ability issue, we then need to come face to face with the fact that my ability is incapable of meriting a right standing before God. But then we see that Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but through him. And then Acts talks about that there's no other name given upon which we must be saved but by the name of Jesus. And so all of a sudden, Jesus is not so trivial anymore. He is the only one that can take care of our ability issue. And so while the world may be screaming, Jesus is trivial, why that may be a rustling in your heart, I want to just encourage you this morning, Jesus is not trivial. Jesus is something you and I all need to grip with. What are we going to do with him? He's more than trivial. He's significant. So that's one fail that goes through our mind. Just let's minimize Jesus. Pilate did. Second one that Pilate did was he shared that Jesus is irrelevant. Conversation goes, after he realizes this is a big deal. He dismissed the rulers. The passage of scripture says that he went in, he summoned Jesus, and he said, hey, basically, my paraphrase here, what's going on? Are you a king? Jesus looks at him and says, are you saying that? Or is that something that you've heard? Or they tell you to? Pilate, irritated, says, what am I, a Jew? And it's like, your own people, a nation, have delivered you to me. And what Pilate was really saying at that time was, I don't have any part with this Jesus thing. That's something of your customs, and that's something of your tradition. That's something of your people group. It's irrelevant to me. And isn't that, in 2018, what we see happening? And maybe that's even the wrestling of your heart, is how does Jesus relate to me? Now, it comes in different ways, shapes, or form, but one of the ways it comes is we look at generations past, people that have served the Lord and people that have confessed Christ as their Savior. And you see clearly that Jesus is not trivial because there has been a life well lived in front of you because of their faith in Jesus. You've seen them experience things that you know that you just can't dismiss. But yet you look at those things and you're like, well, that was good for mom and dad, or that was good for grandpa, grandma, or that was good for that group of people that come on Sundays, or the men's ministry. But is Jesus really relevant to me? And friend, I will say that there is not a point in your entire being that Jesus is not relevant to. I would say that Jesus is wanting to minister to you in every element of your life. And that's one of the things that we do, isn't it? Is sometimes we say, well, I believe Jesus is not trivial. I believe that Jesus is relevant to this, but I'm holding on to something, and I don't know if Jesus is relevant to that. Can he really help me with my hurt? Can he really help me with my brokenness? Can he really help me with all of those things? And I want to declare to you by the authority and the power of the Lord that, yes, he can help you in every single moment of your life. And not only can he wants to. So Jesus is not irrelevant. Regardless of what Pilate was trying to make him out, regardless of that significant thinking fail that will lead to an epic fail, Jesus is relevant to your need today. Jesus is not worth the effort. And so Pilate, sitting here, and Pilate, like, well, this guy's not trivial. He's interrupted my day. They're wanting to kill him. This is a big deal.
Jesus is irrelevant. No, this is right in my world now. But Scripture records in other passages, Luke that tells the story of Pilate and the exchange with Jesus. We start learning some other things. Matthew, Mark, they all have this exchange. And what we start seeing is that Pilate, first of all, keeps on seeing Jesus is innocent of what they're accusing him of. Didn't see any fault. Read another piece that it says that Jesus, in Luke, it says, Pilate says that he was wanting to release Jesus. He's wanting to do the right thing. We read another place where his wife comes to him and says, hey, don't do anything to that innocent man. So we see all these things. It's all laid in front of Pilate. Pilate knows he's not trivial. Jesus is not trivial. Pilate knows that he's not irrelevant. But Pilate makes this critical thinking fail, that Jesus just isn't worth the effort. That I would rather choose, you know, this path that I'm on, that I would rather just not deal with it. He's not worth the effort. And friend, I know that that is at times something that comes up in our lives. That, man, he's just not worth the effort. It's not that I know that I need something. I know that he's not irrelevant. I know that he is worth the effort. I know that there is evidence of broken humanity, and that includes me, all over. I know I need something different. And then it starts driving to this piece of decision, this point of decision that we have to make. I know that he is what he says he is. I feel that. I believe that. I see the argument. But is he worth the effort for me to step out in faith and believe him for who he says he is? Now, someone that has been a believer, the reason why grandma and grandpa have the story and that you see it is because they have allowed a cycle. They have allowed a cycle that the Lord brings to happen. They jumped in faith. They didn't have all the answers. They didn't have all the knowledge. They believed in the Lord. And then when the trials came and the troubles came, and they will, they stayed in. And then as they were persevering through that, the Lord started working in them patience, as Romans 5 says. And then patience gave them this experience that Jesus was exactly who he says he was. It's not that they understood it all, but they were going through the trial and they were seeing the presence of Jesus working in the midst. And then the Word of God says that after the patience, experience came, and then experience brings hope. And that hope that happened because they were in the cycle of believing who Jesus was, trusting in him. What ended up happening is that the next trial, and the next fight, and the next battle that they were facing, they had this arsenal of experience behind them that they had saw that their Redeemer lives. And he lives to work in them. And I want to just share this morning that Jesus is relevant to you because all of us have been through the trials and all of us have been through the experiences, and he is worth the effort. And I want to encourage all of us, stay in the fight in the midst of this. Don't step backwards. Stay in the fight and allow the Lord to minister to you in a way that you would have never been able to see had you not. I am still one who believes in a good old-fashioned God story that can't be scripted by human hands. But we have to be willing to allow him to do his perfect work. He is worth the effort, even though sometimes the effort is hard. Thinking fail, Jesus is trivial. He's not. Thinking fail, Jesus is irrelevant. Not. Thinking fail, Jesus is not worth the effort. Here's the other one.
thinking fail that Jesus is not equal to or above other areas of our life. I put in the effort, but I just like my life the way it is right now. And I don't want to mess with Jesus. That was what Pilate's thinking was. I have political aspirations. I'd rather keep the peace than have a relationship with Jesus or do the right thing. And without question, there's probably some here today that are wrestling around. Am I really willing to surrender my life to him and his preeminence? Or would I rather just continue and continue in the way that I'm going? But I'm a friend, that only leads to an epic fail because you disconnect yourself from the ability issue. You disconnect yourself from the only source that can provide salvation and give you right standing before the Lord, Jesus Christ. You don't want to fall into any of these thinking fails. Now, and not only do you not want to fall, but our master teacher, as we're talking about a test, no test should ever be given unless a student has been prepared for it. And Pilate, sitting there at the in the courtroom, he has all of these people that have been trying to prepare him to do the right thing. He's choosing to do the wrong thing. And then in our life, I just want to let us know the same. A master teacher is never content with the student's failure. You may have made all of those fails in the past, but a master teacher is never content with the student's failure and will patiently model a pattern of success for their student. And you and Jesus is our master teacher. Scripture records about this exchange between Pilate and Jesus that Pilate was absolutely amazed at the patience of Jesus and his responses and sometimes his willingness to not respond. He was amazed at that. And so, and there was this one exchange where he spoke specifically on the truth of Jesus. And Pilate's retorted, what is truth? And it's a question that all of us wrestle around. What is truth? But there are some Jesus truths that emerge from the patient teacher, the master teacher, modeling us away from the thinking fails in our life. So where we say Jesus is trivial, Jesus models that we are valuable. He models a value to us. Luke 15 talks about a widow, and not a widow, but a married woman looking for coins. A coin that she had lost. She already had the other set of her dowry, but she was scouring to find the one, and she was not content until she found that one. And I want you to know, each and every one of you, that's what Jesus thinks of you. He thinks that you're valuable regardless of what the world may try and convince you, regardless of in the darkness of the night what you think of yourself. Jesus models that not only is he not trivial, but you are exceedingly valuable in his eyes. Thinking fail of Jesus is irrelevant. Jesus thinks that we are relevant. Luke 15 tells another story about how comparing a shepherd to Jesus and how that the shepherd had 100 sheep in his fold. One went away, and I know that many of us have heard this before, but let's not get lost on it. That's 99% return rate would be pretty good for any business, right? All right? We would be willing to write off, you know, it's only 1%, but not Jesus. Jesus is like, I'm going to keep the 99 safe, but I am going to go find the one. He's relevant to me. He's relevant to my work, and he finds the one, and the scripture says that he puts him on his shoulders and walks on and encourages everybody to rejoice with him. So where we think sometimes, or people may say that Jesus is irrelevant, Jesus models another thinking that says that you are relevant to him. Jesus is not worth the effort. The master teacher says, you're worth dying for.
Master teacher burns through all the chaos and burns through all the brokenness, becomes sin for us, is laid in a grave that is not his own. And we know the story. We've seen the worship songs. But he rises victorious 3 days later, declaring to the world that he is the Son of God with power. He thinks that you are worth dying for. And he was willing to leave heaven to become in flesh as a man for you. So the master teacher modeling that no, he is worth the effort because you are worth the effort, relevant. And then Jesus is not equal to or above the other areas of our life. Luke 15 tells the story about the rebellious son that goes wayward, runs away, comes back broken, doesn't even want to claim his sonship anymore, just wants to be somewhere where he can eat. He is destroyed and distraught, and that may be where some of you are today. But the Father, sitting on his throne, sees afar off and says, I'm going to get him. I'm going to make him mine. Jesus thinks that there's no greater priority than to bring you to him. There's all kinds of thinking fails that we can have that will keep us away from Jesus, but the master teacher will continually communicate the Jesus truths so that when you are facing the biggest test of your life, what do I do with Jesus? When you're facing that big test, Jesus wants to model a way, he wants to model a truth, he wants to model a life so that you will come to him. And those that have come to him, they do not leave disappointed. They leave knowing that they have met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and that he is their Father. And today, as we close this message, my prayer, my desire is that you would know the King of Kings too. That you would recognize that he wants to extend himself to you right now. It's more than a system. It is the person of Jesus Christ, and he is calling you. And as the song is sung, we'll come to the altar. I would encourage you to embrace that song. Regardless of where you are, regardless of what you've done, let Jesus have residence in your life. Avoid the thinking fails. Embrace the Jesus truths and let him minister to your life. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that it was able to burn through all of the thinking fails that were so rich and abundant in my life. Lord, I recognize that I don't deserve the merit of your favor, nor does anyone. But the tenderness of the mercy and the grace of God extended to us through Jesus Christ shines on each and every one of us. And it gives us an invitation now to come as we are, broken, battered. Come as we are and receive the greatest gift that can ever be given. Lord, I pray that each and every one that is hearing this message would pass the big test because they've removed the thinking fails and embraced Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.